You're listening to the Charisma News Podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network. I'm Shelby Lindsay. Pastors nationwide have given themselves to growing the Western Church, but North Georgia Revival Pastor Todd Smith says he is praying for a revival in the pulpit. Listen to what he has to say about the incredible creative miracles happening in their baptismal waters.
Read more stories on Spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine. Go to mycharismashop.com and enter in the promo code CPN to receive 10% off the price of a subscription.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, since 2018, since Charisma interviewed you guys on what was going on over there in North Georgia, you know, what's happened since? What's been going on?
Well, we're entered our fifth year of revival, right at 30,000 people have been immersed into the waters here at North Georgia Revival. Unbelievable and numerous miracles, literally thousands of miracles have taken place in the waters. People are continuing to come in from all over the country and all over the world to meet the Lord in the water. To encounter, you know, his presence, his glory. Mm-hmm. So things have continued to increase, both in his presence and his glory.
Wow. You know, 5 years, it's incredible. What would you attribute that to? Just the continued outpouring of the Holy Spirit?
Our people pray. The revival has sustained because we have sustained the commitment to pray. We pray 5 times a week corporately. Our children have a separate prayer meeting. Our young people have a separate prayer meeting. So there are 7 prayer meetings that take place throughout the week. And, you know, anywhere from 100 to 200 people will gather to seek the face of the Lord and to cry out for his glory. So the revival has continued, not because of the preaching, nor the worship or any gifting or personality. It has been sustained because our folks understand the power of the prayer deposit, sowing into the Spirit so that we can reap by the Spirit, so that when people walk into the room with needs, whether they're backslidden, addicted, sick in their body, there's enough of the presence of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit there to meet those needs. And he normally does.
What would you say is your biggest encouragement to pastors who might be listening and wondering, how can this happen in my church? You know, I was talking to another pastor just a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying, you know, people have to make room for the Holy Spirit because he's not going to move where there's no room for him. I mean, would you agree with that? What would your encouragement be?
My encouragement would be that God's never asked us to grow his church or even to grow our own church. That's something that we shoulder and wear because that's just the culture. Jesus's responsibility that he places on us is to host him and to host him well. And a pastor has to go through a paradigm shift of where my number one priority is to create a culture and an environment in my personal life, mm-hmm. as well as my church life, my church environment, that is attractive to the Lord so that he wants to come. He unpacks his bags and he wants to stay perpetually in power in our church services. So I think pastors have given themselves to growing the Western church, and we measure our success by the metric of numbers, how many services you have, how many people are in attendance, how large is your offering, you know, how large is your staff, where God says, listen, create a culture for me to come and do what I do, make room for me, give me the keys to the building, all right, and then watch what I will do. So when a pastor comes to the end of himself and says, hey, this is not about me, it's not about my gifting, it's not about my personality, it's not about my influence, but it's about me dying to the point where I am completely empty. And then he comes and he takes over from there.
Yeah, that's amazing. One of the other things that I've noticed, you know, just since I've worked here talking to different people, is just kind of this movement of repentance that's happening across the country right now. Are you guys seeing that at your church? Is that playing a role in what God's doing?
Oh, absolutely. You know, everybody wants revival, but when revival comes, extended revival, it is very painful. Okay, it's arduous, and the reason why is God wants complete and total control of every area of our life, and repentance is literally a part of the currency for revival. You cannot have revival, sustained revival, without living in that arena of repentance, of where you do not want to grieve God in any aspect. You don't want to quench his spirit. You don't want to offend him. Okay. And so repentance is paramount for there to even start a move of the spirit, but for that to be sustained, repentance has to be ongoing in the people's lives.
Tell us a little bit about some of the, you know, miracles, you know, what's God doing? Encourage people through what you guys are seeing.
Well, just here recently, we're seeing God do some creative miracles in the water. Legs that are an inch and a half shorter that happened because of a broken leg and surgery, an inch and a half shorter, back pains, and you name it, that goes with it, walking with a limp. The leg literally grows out an inch and a half in the water. Wow. It was so amazing and so dramatic that this woman's ex-husband saw the miracle, literally, you know, not with his eyes, but was there in the building with her and noticed that she's no longer limping and the leg's the same size, gets born again as a result of that. Because he witnessed, hey, I know that lady. That was my ex-wife in a car accident, broke leg, surgery. And to watch, you know, her be able to be made whole, you know, gave room for the Holy Spirit to convict him and say, hey, I'm real. I want to come into your life. We just witnessed a girl that had no peripheral vision, zero peripheral vision from birth and legally blind, could not see without these very thick glasses, encounter the Lord in the water. Peripheral vision opens up. And then the next morning she gets up and she walks into the bathroom without her glasses and she's able to see everything.
Wow.
This only came after the Lord asked her to forgive someone that violated her. So it was connected to the forgiveness, right? Yeah. It was connected to her letting go of that that hate that she had and anger she had in her heart. So we've seen unbelievable miracles, cancers literally being healed. People with psoriasis getting healed, folks with addictions, lifelong addictions, 30 years being meth addicts and heroin addicts, getting into the water and instantly the Lord setting them free, reaching down deep in their heart and just pulling out all of those trespassers, pulling out all of those avenues and open doorways and just exploding in their heart and setting them free. And this is all happening in the baptismal waters at the North Georgia Revival. And again, blind eyes open, deaf ears are opening, cancers disappearing, folks that can't walk are walking out of the waters and walking right past the wheelchair they came in on, okay, and getting into their cars. So it's just a beautiful thing to witness what God's doing.
Yeah.
But again, Shelby, it's happening because of the commitment our people have toward prayer. The most important thing we do as a church at Christ Fellowship is not preach the gospel. It's not the worshiping of the King, as important and vital and necessary as those are. It's not making disciples. The most important thing we do as a congregation is to pray. You know, he said it, 2 Chronicles 7:15, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive, not to the preaching, not to the worship, but he says to the prayers made. in this place.
Wow.
And when we make this the highest priority of the church, okay, then the preaching and the worship and the disciple making and the winning of souls takes on a whole new dimension of effectiveness.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. You know, I discovered that there are 25, at least 25 group prayer meetings in the book of Acts. And we wonder why and how they walked with such kingdom authority and kingdom
right.
power, how devils were cast out and people that were lame were able to walk and the dead were raised, etc. Well, we have 10 prayer meetings taking place prior to the day of Pentecost. You know, they were there 10 days, they gathered, and the Holy Spirit fell after 10 days of prayer.
Mm.
Peter gets up and preaches one message and 3,000 people are saved. In the Western church, perhaps, is our tendency is to preach 10 days and pray one day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get three people saved rather than 3,000. But then there are other prayer meetings mentioned in prayer gatherings throughout the book of Acts. It was the highest priority of the early church. And in fact, Peter said, we're going to give ourselves to the word and to prayer.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's such an incredible revelation that's so readily available to people. And you know, I think in the Western church in America, there's a lot of Bible illiteracy. A lot of people don't know these things because they aren't reading their Bible, but I think they can be encouraged to know that, you know, whether revival like this is happening in their church or somewhere near them, that, you know, it can happen through them if they are devoting themselves to prayer, that God doesn't have to use a church building. He could use a house. He could use a, you know, a house group, a house meeting to do revival. You know, it's just, but people understanding this revelation that you're talking about, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, very important because I believe it outlines for us what God's looking for. If my people, okay, who are called by my name, humble themselves, you know, get low, all right, and pray. My people who call by my name will humble themselves and pray. You know, again, we've committed ourselves to preaching. We've committed ourselves to have worship sets and dynamic church services. Those, I'm not minimizing those. I'm not saying those aren't important. We need those, love those. But the thing God's looking for, will my people pray? Will they gather together and pray and right. seek my face? And then on top of that, turn from sin.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's a big
yeah.
one. But anyway, the point is, I think there's a resurgence coming back to the church today mm-hmm. where pastors and leaders are emphasizing prayer. Because if preaching could have thrust us into the next great awakening, it would have happened decades ago. If worship would have, you know, catapulted us into the next revival, great awakening, it would have happened, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, with some of the greatest worship music we've ever had and greatest talent and musicians and singers. But those are important, but they're not the key. The mm-hmm. key is, if my people humble themselves and pray. Every great revival, every one of them, every significant move of God that has happened on the planet always started with at least one person, a group yep. of people, bowing their heads, bending their knee, and seeking God for divine intervention, for him to come in power.
It's so true. As you were talking, I was just thinking of, you know, the Azusa Street Revival and how much prayer was, you know, before that move of God. And it's, wow, that's really, really amazing. Is there anything else that you want to share with people just on, you know, what's happening at the church, what's going on in the world today? Just kind of any final remarks?
Well, I believe the Lord is doing something significant on the planet right now. And I believe this is the greatest hour for us to be alive. And the Lord is looking for a people. The eyes yeah. of God roam throughout the whole earth, seeking whom, you know, are seeking a heart who's loyal to him and whom he can show himself mighty and strong. This move of the Spirit that is going to be taking place is going to be using people that are in the shadows. maybe not your largest of large churches, okay, but churches of all sizes, the Lord's going to pour out His Spirit. This is the time for kingdom expression more than ever in the history of humanity.
And amen.
Revival is a must. Mm-hmm. We must be revived. And people ask me all the time, Shelby, they ask me, are you praying for America? And I go, yeah, but my primary focus is the pastors and the pulpits they stand behind. We must have a revival of the pulpit where men and women preach the uncompromising truth, even though it may be uncomfortable. Okay. We have to have men and women raising the standard, calling God's people to purity and holiness, and not being swayed by the culture, our society, and not letting, you know, our social media dictate what we preach. I feel strongly the reason our nation is in its predicament, its condition, is because the pulpit stopped preaching the offensive messages of the gospel. The gospel is offensive in many ways. It makes people upset. It's counterculture. The cross is counterculture. But because we were more concerned about attracting crowds and getting people in the building, we pulled off on dealing with some controversial subjects. We must no longer be persuaded about the crowd. Our focus should be on the cloud. We cannot be focused on the crowd, but where is the cloud of God? That's got to be our focus. And when that happens, there will be a seismic shift in churches, and then churches will influence families. Families will influence their community, and the community will influence the region. So the revival first has to hit the pulpit. And when it hits the pulpit, it will hit the church. Then the church will hit the families, the community, and the community, the region.
Wow, that's amazing. And it's so true. It's a really, really important message to get out there. And, you know, I believe that God is doing that.
Thank you for listening to Charisma News. To read more articles and stories like this one, visit charismanews.com. Receive stories on spirit-led living when you subscribe to Charisma Magazine at mycharismamag.com. Type in promo code CPN to receive a 10% discount off your subscription.